WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. On the third anniversary of the war in Ukraine, French President Emmanuel Macron at the White House with President Trump telling him.
He said he believes this war could come to an end in a matter of weeks. He also said that he would make a trip to Moscow when the timing is right. Now, if that happens, that would be absolutely remarkable, as we've seen Trump really stop trying to isolate Putin both diplomatically and economically.
ABC's Selena Wang. Millions of government workers facing a midnight deadline to respond to Elon Musk's government-wide email titled, "What Did You Do Last Week?" Employees told to list five accomplishments or risk losing their jobs. Multiple agencies, including the FBI, telling workers to pause their responses. Pope Francis remaining in critical condition, but the Vatican says he's shown slight improvement in lab tests and resumed some work. Vivek Ramaswamy, the 2024 GOP presidential candidate, officially announcing that he will be running for governor of the state of Ohio. This is ABC News.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A plan to create a new charter school in Madison has been withdrawn. Tonight, the Madison School Board was set to consider a proposal to create a trades-based charter school. The project was led by the McKenzie Foundation and the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County. The goal was to eventually have 600 students learning skilled trades like engineering and life skills like money management. The charter school could have been under the umbrella of the Madison Metropolitan School District or UW-Madison. There were listening sessions earlier this year where there was support for the idea and concern that it wouldn't resolve key issues like transportation and stable home lives, which can keep kids from attending any school. Opponents said they would rather see more programs available for students at MMSD locations. Well, now it seems that's what may happen. The McKenzie Foundation and Boys and Girls Club of Dane County withdrew their proposal this morning. A statement says that decision followed, quote, careful consideration from all organizations, end quote. Instead, it seems the nonprofits will collaborate with the school district to create career and college programs in school. We have some unusual weather this week, at least unusual for February. All week, we're expecting highs in the 40s, except for today, where 50 is in the forecast. This kind of weather means some of our winter recreation activities are no more. Ice skating at Madison Parks is officially done for the season. It's a relatively short run. Rinks just opened in December. People flocked to the parks yesterday to get one last skate in. Meanwhile, Dane County's snowmobile trails are closed, too. That is quite a short season. They only had like 5 or 6 days.
The Bucks winning with backups. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks won at home 120-113 over the Miami Heat. They head to Houston today to play the Rockets tomorrow night. Damian Lillard has been limited with a hamstring injury and marveled how backup guard Kevin Porter Jr. took over the game after being traded here from the Clippers.
I think, first of all, it was fun to watch. I think when you are a star in this league, a lot of times the weight of the game shifting is on you. KP scoring, from being able to see him since he was in high school to college to even, you know, his time in the NBA. I've seen him many times have huge nights.
Kevin Porter Jr., nicknamed Scoot, on what it's been like since he arrived in Milwaukee.
As soon as I came in here, I felt very welcome. And that's big. That's huge. Especially when you got people like Giannis, Dame, Doc, a winning organization, you know, the fan base, you know, how Milwaukee has welcomed me. And it's been beautiful, honestly. So I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
That's Bucks guard Kevin Porter Jr. with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a stray sprinkle or shower, and a low in the low 30s. Partly sunny and staying mild for tomorrow, high mid 40s. Another rain chance Tuesday night and Wednesday. Temps will stay much above average through the rest of the week. It's 46 right now.
The John and Gordy Show.
Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist. You know, I prefer the snow. I hate the ice. Death by driveway, be careful. I mean, just stepping outside of your house, don't slip and fall.
Did you say death by driveway? I'm just...
I did. You don't want to skim past that part, do you?
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, maternal mortality rates are on the rise across the country. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here to explain it all. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood.
Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right.
And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, folks. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. A tropical, almost balmy day here in Wisconsin today. Coming up at 7:20, Chad Franker will be here. A local boy done good from Marinette, Wisconsin, who created a business called Meal with a Friend. It's a great community builder and helps combat loneliness. Chad will be here in studio in just a few minutes to talk about that. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite chip? It is International Tortilla Chip Day, but we expanded the topic to hopefully draw more exciting answers than just tortilla chips. So join us in your love of chips. Let us know what you're thinking. And as always, you can comment on anything we're talking about here tonight at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. All right, my guest right now, we have a few more minutes with our guest, Mariah Gates. Her book is out tomorrow. It's called Cinema Her Way, Visionary Female Directors in Their Own Words. You can buy it in bookstores, online. There will be signed copies available soon. That's exciting. Mariah, I wanted to ask you, you list a lot of the directors that you talk to in the book and that you write about. I have to admit, I haven't heard of many of them, but I've always been kind of just in awe of Kathryn Bigelow. She is such a phenomenal director, and she directs films that typically, or stereotypically, you might say, guys, it seems like, direct. They're Hurt Locker, Point Break. I didn't even know she did that in 1991. I think that was her first major Hollywood studio film. Zero Dark Thirty. I really liked the movie Detroit, and I didn't even realize she directed it until I was watching the credits. Where does she rank on your list of not just female directors, but directors? She's had a pretty incredible career.
Yeah, I think she has definitely been an influence. A lot of the people I've interviewed, not for the book, but for my column, have cited her as one of the reasons they knew women could make films, or an example of the kind of films they would like to do and didn't necessarily think they could, but they saw her do it. And so they're like, okay, I can do this too. So I think she's definitely been an important figure in terms of visibility of women directing films and of women directing films that make a really big wave. Obviously, she was the first woman to win Best Director at the Oscars. And since then, there have been several and a lot more women nominated. I think she was only the fifth to ever be nominated. So Jane Campion, who is in the book, was the first woman ever to be nominated twice for Best Director. I think it'll be really wonderful when that statistic changes and we have multiple women with multiple nominations, the same way we do with men. So I think she definitely broke a really big glass ceiling with the Hurt Locker. Unfortunately, it seems like every once in a while they try to put a new glass ceiling up, but I don't think that will be successful.
I want to ask you about the Oscars, but I want to ask you, who in your book send them her way. Who did you enjoy talking to the most?
Oh, I mean, it was Gillian Armstrong. Not to dismiss all the other women who are amazing, but Gillian Armstrong directed Little Women, which is my favorite movie and has been my favorite movie since I was 8 years old, which is 30 years. And it was, I can't even believe she said yes. I literally screamed. So, and she talked to me for 3 hours and she talked to me about the most minute things. She's like, you have seen this movie too many times. Like, yes, I have. Please answer my question. So it was as wonderful as all the conversations were, it was really surreal to talk to the person who made a movie that I've, you know, loved like on a molecular level for 30 years, you know.
That's so great. All right. So we have a few minutes left. What are your thoughts? Do you have a best picture favorite in the Oscars? Did the SAG Awards do anything for you?
In a perfect world, I feel like Nicole Boy should have been nominated for every Oscar.
Wow.
I wish Jomo Frey had been nominated for his cinematography. I think Nicole Boy is head and shoulders above everything that came out, like literally everything that came out last year. However, of the ones that did get nominated, I do think Anora is probably going to sweep. I think mostly because The Brutalist is really long and I don't know that everyone's going to sit through the 3 hours or they're going to think it doesn't deserve to be 3 hours. Anora is nice and brisk. It does a lot of interesting things with tone. It really lands it. I think it's been winning so many. It won the DGA and the PGA. One surprise that I think might happen, especially because it won the SAG Ensemble, is because they, for Best Picture, they do a weighted ballot. I do think Conclave is going to be like a lot of people's number two or number three, and that could potentially make it the winner. That's what I think what happened with Spotlight about 10 years ago, where no one saw Spotlight winning. But I think what happened was it was probably a lot of people's number two, and that adds up. The weighted ballot is really, or the preferential ballot is really why you get a film like in the Spotlight year, Mad Max won, I think, like 6 Oscars, and then Spotlight won Best Picture because of the chaos of a preferential ballot. So I think you could see Conclave come out, but I think Anora is probably the safest, like, sweep.
So you think Anora is a safe bet. How did you feel about Anora?
I really love that Sean Baker is a filmmaker who was able to follow the old school path. His very first film premiered at Slamdance, which is the micro indie film festival. Mm-hmm. And then his most recent film won the Palme d'Or. And I don't know that that's a path any filmmaker gets to have anymore. I think because of the financing and economics of filmmaking has changed so much. So I think it's a real, I don't want to say like a career capper because he's a young man and is going to probably make another 40 years worth of films, but he's put in 20 years of like consistently good work. And I think it would be a really great thing to see him really just sweep this year.
You know, it's so weird. Like I saw Anora when all the hype was around it. Florida Project, which I just saw about 3 months ago, is one of my all-time favorite movies. Yeah. I think it's a masterpiece. I liked Tangerine. I liked Red Rocket. But Anora, I liked, but I don't think I liked it Best Picture liked it. Because, I don't know, it's just a weird thing. But then I noticed that Conclave, and I saw this statistic recently, the films that win Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards, something like 26 of the last 30 years have won Best Picture at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So I feel like
that really has to do with two things. One, the last 15 years with the preferential ballot, and two, the fact that the actors make up the largest percentage of the Academy, the actors branch.
Okay.
And so the in terms of the how many actors are in SAG that are also part of the Academy, that number is a lot larger than, say, the number of directors who are in the DGA who are also Academy members. You know, so the correlation is a lot higher. And again, I do very much think Conclave is going to be probably some people's number one, but it's going to be on a lot of people's number two, number three. And I think that's going to add up because it's such a crowd pleasing film.
Right. It's so
and
weird.
As far as I know, nobody hates it. Like some of these films people hate, right? And so it's going to be all at the bottom.
Yes. The substance.
Film, I don't know anyone who hates Conclave. I think everyone at minimum thinks it's a fun film.
I feel the same about
really helpful.
A Complete Unknown. Like I really liked it. I thought it was a really solid film. And I like Conclave, but I was talking to someone recently that said, well, the big twist at the end, I mean, come on, what are they doing? I'm like, that's what made it a great film for me. Like, I just thought it was okay and well acted until that. That to me.
Yeah, and then it's very unexpected.
Yeah.
For how pulpy the rest of the film was. Yeah. And great. They pull it off.
Yeah. And I haven't seen Nickel Boys, I'm Still Here, or The Brutalist yet because I live in kind of a remote area. But I probably will pay the $20 to watch Nickel Boys on my TV based on what you just said.
If you can at some point somehow see it in the theater, or listeners, if you haven't seen it yet and you want to see it in a theater, that one is such a special experience and so immersive. And truly innovative in a way that once you see it, you'll see what I mean. And I don't think any other film in terms of artistry and innovation can touch that film. But obviously artistry and innovation isn't always what ends up being Oscar voters' favorite thing. You know, I think this is a beautiful film. And it's not, I think a lot of people maybe are afraid because the subject matter is heavy, but it's not a heavy film. It's a really beautiful, empathetic film that is about the persistence of joy and the persistence of just life. It's an extraordinary film.
I'm so excited to see it now. One other film I wanted to ask you about. Amelia Perez, 13 nominations. Did they totally lose it with the Twitter scandal? Are they done?
I think they did. Yeah. That's a film that was very divisive. I think not with older voters. I feel like a lot of older viewers really love the film. And I think a lot of younger viewers are more, I think, perhaps aware of the various ways that film is not, shall we say, as progressive as it seems. Mm. There's a lot of trans writers have written about why it's actually a regressive film.
Oh, wow.
A lot of Mexican writers have written about how it's really a terrible version of their country. It does them no favors. But I don't know that a lot of voters cared about any of that, you know, because they love the film and they don't care about criticism. And that's perfectly fine. That is, they don't have to read criticism to enjoy a film. That's, it's everyone's prerogative. I personally did not like that film.
I
did not understand. Specifically, the nomination that is the wildest to me is cinematography, because I think it's a garish film.
It's a weird looking film. Yeah.
I don't think visually it works. Whereas when you see Nickel Boys, I think you'll see what I mean about Joe Mofre, who did the cinematography. I think he is a poetic filmmaker and an emotional filmmaker and does something with the camera that is so unique. And he's won almost every other award. It's really weird. He got the American Society of Cinematographers Award. He got the Independent Spirit. It's, I think, the biggest snub that came out of the Oscar nomination thing. It's baffling that he didn't get that nomination. I think he'll probably get nominated for his next film, whatever that ends up being, because he's another consistently great innovative filmmaker. But I think maybe, I don't know what's going on with the cinematography brand.
It'll be interesting to see what happens either way. The book is called Cinema Her Way, Visionary Female Directors in Their Own Words by Mariah Gates. You can find it in bookstores tomorrow or online. I'm sure it will be just as outstanding as everything Mariah writes. So much fun having you on the show all the time. Good luck with the book.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's talk soon.
All right.
Mariah Gates. Coming up next, Chad Franker, a young man from Marinette, Wisconsin, a place I call my hood. He's got a great new business that helps combat loneliness. We're going to talk to Chad about that because I thought it was really inspiring. And we'll read your texts and all kinds of fun stuff. Who knows? Maybe Conrad will do a little soft shoe. Did you bring the cane and the hat?
I did not.
Oh, come on, man. You're killing me.
I forgot it in my car.
Yeah, likely story.
I'll just have to run out there quick.
All right, we're coming right back on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Found an injured, sick, or orphaned wild animal? Dane County Humane Society's Wildlife Center can help. Call 608-287-3235 or visit giveshelter.org/wildlife for what to do next.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
We have a great question tonight. It's International Tortilla Chip Day. Everything has a day. And we are putting the question out. What is your favorite chip? You don't have to limit it to a tortilla chip, folks. What is your favorite chip? Conrad's dad checked in. I love this. Oh, no, it wasn't your dad that said this. Although your dad said Taco Doritos. He says the Taco Doritos will always be dear to my heart. But my new favorite chip is made by UTZ, the crab chip with Chesapeake Bay crab seasoning. You can't just eat just one.
I'll attest to that. Those are really good.
I don't think I've ever heard of those.
Yeah, maybe it's just a Florida thing. I don't know, but I only saw it when I went down there to visit them once, and those things were good.
All right. Did I miss? pardon me. No, I got that one. Okay, so let's go to from the 608, or I'm sorry, from the 818, Bridget says salted potato chips with ranch dip. Interesting. That's the first dip suggestion we've heard. You could just buy ranch chips, right? They have potato chips with ranch
flavor. Not the same.
All right, fair enough.
Well, have you heard of anything with hummus?
Listen, dude, I love hummus.
Yeah.
That is the voice of my next guest. Chad Franker is here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about a really cool business Chad has created. He's about to launch it. What is your favorite chip, Chad?
Well, I would say something that has health consciousness.
See, all right, I admire that, but yeah, that's what I was going for too at first, and then I realized if I'm going to eat chips, I'm not thinking about health. I've seen you at the gym. I see how hard you work too, so I appreciate the health thing, but AJ from the 608 says, hey, Pete, if you can find them, Lil Baby's brand of wrap snacks are out of this world. His flavor is salt and... Is that supposed to be Lil Baby Ray's?
No, it's
Lil Baby.
Baby.
Okay. She says his, or AJ says his flavor is salt and vinegar, barbecue, onion, garlic, and more. Yes, all together in one chip. Now that sounds like a taste explosion in your mouth. and Kenneth chimed in on the film Green and Gold. So if you have an opinion on that film, I finally saw it last night. Did you see Green and Gold, Chad?
No.
Okay. Are you a Packer fan? Yeah. And you like farming? Not to do for yourself, maybe, but just in general, it's a good thing. Chad doesn't really see the necessity for farming, so that's okay. All right, from the 608, Steady Eddie checking in. He says, Pete, Conrad, love chips, but we all know eating chips is not quite as bad as smoking cigarettes. The snack food manufacturers want you addicted. They don't care about your health. They want your money. Steady, Eddie. Come on. Big business wants our money. Get out of here. He says, that being said, chips are delicious, if not nutritious. I like nacho cheese Doritos the best. I have a strategy where I buy 2 1-ounce bags of chips when I shop at the grocery store. That way, when I get home, I can eat 2 whole bags of Doritos and not feel too guilty. It works for me. And then in all caps, sometimes, happy tortilla chip day. Steady, hold the cheese dip, Eddie. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Keep those texts coming, folks. It's fun. Chips are fun. What's not to like about chips?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing, exactly. All right. I'm going to bring in my next guest here. I'm excited because this guy is from my hometown and where I live right now, Marinette, Wisconsin. He made the drive to be here in the studio because he has a new business that he is launching called Meals with a Friend. And it's a great idea. I absolutely love this. Chad, tell us about Meals with a Friend and tell us when it'll be officially launched.
Well, Meals with a Friend is... We're in the early beginning stages where we trying to get volunteers lined up with people who are experiencing loneliness and isolation. And the pandemic was the first indicator of how loneliness and isolation can impact the cognitive health and the mental health and a whole slew of things.
Right.
Yes.
You really did your homework. I saw where you did all this research. And is what you learned about the pandemic what gave you the idea for this business?
Well, so retract that. I mean, so when I was 16 years old, I got hit by a truck and suffered a traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. So I've always known of the helping profession where how community can help build and help aid someone to be better. And,
right.
Yes. And so, I mean, then I, when I was in school to get a Bachelor's of Science in Psychology and Human Development, I did an internship with the Hospice Advantage, and I was with hospice clients.
Okay.
And I sat with people that were near dead, that passed away.
Hmm.
And I say that reluctantly because I loved it that the families respected me enough to sit with their loved ones.
Right.
But they allowed me to give that to them. So, and
you saw how much it impacted.
Yes.
And how that
could impact the love of the, how they didn't want to have the final idea of their loved one so bedridden. And
right. Yes. You talked about that too, and we'll get into this more after the news, but how community, and people being there for you after your accident helped you heal and get to a place where you could create Meals with a Friend. Yeah. So we'll talk about all of that. Chad Franker is my guest. He is a fellow. He's from my hood. He's a fellow Marinette native. Yeah. And don't let the fact that I remember hearing about that accident, but you should see this guy at the gym. I wish I worked half as hard or broke half the sweat you break because I see how hard you work. So we'll talk more with Chad about his new cool business called Meals with a Friend, a business that is just such a great idea to help others who are feeling lonely. We'll talk more about the nuts and bolts of the business and get to know Chad a little bit more after. Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. It's Beach Waba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Attorney General Josh Call has added Wisconsin to another lawsuit pushing back against the Trump administration. This one is over the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The bureau was created after the financial crisis of 2008. It protects American consumers by curbing unfair business practices, supervising banks and lenders, and making sure people know their rights. The White House and Elon Musk have ordered the bureau to stop nearly all its work. They also closed the bureau's offices for a week earlier this month. In the lawsuit filed with 22 other states, the coalition argues that the dismantling of the CFPB would cause significant harm to consumers and block enforcement of federal consumer protection laws. And a beloved Wisconsin tradition has ended for the season. Here's Lisa Hale.
Sunday was the final day in the 16-day-long sturgeon spearing season in the Lake Winnebago system. The Wisconsin DNR says 943 prehistoric fish were harvested this year. That doubled last year's harvest, even with poor water clarity issues. Harvest caps were not reached during the season. The 90 to 99% harvest trigger on the upriver lakes was hit, but that was late Sunday afternoon. The DNR adds that 63 fish weighing over 100 pounds were harvested this season.
And today is the last day to vote on names for 5 Madison snowplows. The Streets Division staff got more than 1,000 submissions. They include Jump Plow Around, Snowy Tribbiani, Antifreeze, Leslie Snope. The list just goes on and on. I don't think my suggestion made the cut. I submitted George because I thought it would be funny among all these puns. The deadline to vote is 8 o'clock tonight. They'll announce the winners in about a week when they have signs made of each of the new names for the snowplows. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Trust fund kid Elon Musk has drawn a lot of political criticism lately, but now he's under fire for being a bad parent from his own father. Errol Musk appeared on the Wide Awake podcast and said that his son will probably shoot him for saying this, but Elon is not a good father. This comes after rumors that Musk had fathered a 13th child, somehow with 16 women. Should probably fact check that. It's important to note that just a couple years ago, Errol Musk admitted to having a second child with his stepdaughter, who was only 4 years old when he married the child's mother, according to Rolling Stone. Errol and the girl's mom have 2 children of their own, as Musk apparently wanted his future baby mama to have playmates. For the record, Rolling Stone also reported that Elon Musk is not a fan of his father. He called him a terrible human being who has done every evil thing or crime you could possibly imagine, which is probably why they decided not to have kids together. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a stray sprinkle or shower, and a low in the low 30s. Partly sunny and staying mild for tomorrow, high mid 40s. Another rain chance Tuesday night and Wednesday. Temps will stay much above average through the rest of the week. It's 46 right now.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers is back for a Tuesday tangent with Lukester. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2.
We had Mike Starr, the actor from Goodfellas and Dumb and Dumber schedule. Mike had to reschedule because he has a work commitment, which often happens with actors. You have to take the money when you get it. But Mike is awesome. I cannot wait to have him on the show. But in the meantime, we have more awesomeness filling in. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be joining us from Minnesota over the stream. I always have fun with Kristen. She's definitely a night light frequent flyer. And then mob expert and urban legend expert Bob Dennis will be here in the studio. So lots of fun guests coming up this week. Jamie McShane will be here from the show 1923. Rich Talarico from Key and Peele. And, of course, Bar Band Friday Night on Friday. So a fun week on Nightlight here. So great to have you with me, folks, wherever you're joining us from. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay, especially beautiful. Was it still warm out?
Yeah.
Sort of?
Yes.
Getting a little colder? Okay. But a gorgeous night here in the state of Wisconsin. What better way to celebrate good weather than to sit inside and listen to the radio, folks, and talk about the things that make us happy, like movies and TV and a really cool new business that my current guest created. Chad Franker is here. He's a Marinette native. The business is called Meals with a I wrote it down. Oh, Meals with a Friend. Chad, I got lost because I wrote my note down here. It's a meal with a connection.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about Meals with a Friend in case people are just joining us.
Okay. Well, Meals with a Friend is where we pair volunteers with people who or families that are worried about their loved ones and they're just missing that connection piece because as the pandemic has shown, loneliness and isolation is the silent pandemic. No one really talks about it.
Interesting.
But it's like blaring in your eyes and people still don't talk about it. Like they don't talk about how depressed they are or sad they are. And
yeah.
All they need to do is just talk to someone and interact.
And you have an interesting, in this package you have, you haven't quite launched the business yet, but you're getting close. You talk about how loneliness affects people's cardiovascular and neurological makeups.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit. That's fascinating.
Well, okay, so loneliness and isolation, they did a study in the University of Michigan, and they did a six-year longitudinal study where they showed that it's equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
How is that possible? That's insane.
Well, ask the researchers.
I know you didn't do the research.
No, but
that's amazing though.
Yeah. And
so 15 just from loneliness. So here's what I think this is so great. And this is why I wanted to have Chad on the show because there are so many lonely people out there that you don't know about because they're lonely.
Yes.
Yeah. They're not out there. They're not putting themselves out there. Let me ask you this, though, Chad. I don't know if you thought about this. Like, you pair people up together.
Yep.
What if they sit down and try to make a connection through a meal? It's called Meal with a Friend. Yep. What if a fist fight breaks out? Do you anticipate anything like that? Two people throwing down?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it almost happened between us, right?
Were you going to take a swing at me when you walked in here? I didn't realize.
Yeah, sure. So, but anyway.
You're still with someone, though. It's still not loneliness. So
no,
that's good.
No, okay. But, and we try to pair because we're so new at this. I mean, we'll eventually create a website, website that people can log in and where they can actually say, hey, I want to have a meal with someone who plays, who's an outdoorsman or have a volunteer.
Like they have something in common.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
They come in thread And the other service that we provide is like a wellness check. And a wellness check is something where like the person goes into their house and they just make sure that everything is kosher and they're not going to like do any trip hazards or anything that's going to be problematic in the future.
What was there something that gave you this idea, like something that you obviously... Is there something to put this on the map for you? Like you said, I have to do something about this. Like, when did you notice so many lonely people to the point where you thought this would be a good program?
Well, my TBI when happened when I was 16 and
okay. Let's stop you right there. Okay. Let's talk about that because that's the second time you brought that up. Yeah. I remember this because Chad and I have family friends, mutual family friends. You were a really good athlete in high school. You were a good student. You come from in Marinette, there are a lot of Frankers are synonymous with being good athletes. And you were one of those. You had a traumatic brain injury when you were snowmobiling, correct? Yes. All right. So talk about that, how that affected you and changed your whole life.
Well, okay. So I was... January 28th of 2004, I was hit by a truck and I was put into a drug-induced coma for 6 weeks and spent 120 days in the hospital.
Wow.
As an inpatient. But the battle doesn't end there. I went all, like my whole high school career, I was still doing physical therapy, occupational therapy, and I mean, to this very day, I still bust my butt every day doing
you
something.
Do.
Yeah, I mean, I went to spin class today at the Y.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and...
I just want to say, all right, I want to say, too, for those of you listening, I don't know Chad that well, but I see him around town, and I see him substitute teaching, and you went, like you said before, and you got your degree in psychology. Like, this did not... You're just tenacious. Like, you have a zest
Thank
for
you.
Life. I see how hard you work at the gym. And now, when I saw you in the grocery store and you told me about this new business, I thought, this is great. We have to talk about this. So have you, because of your accident, experienced loneliness? Did that change your life, as you said?
Because I have a physical disability. My left side is partially paralyzed. And when I say partially paralyzed, it's like I can move it, but I don't have fine dexterity movement.
Okay.
And so I'm still recovering, but I mean, it's been 21 years. So being a popular kid and then like the whole stages of like that honeymoon phase of the accident, people were all wanting to interact with me and stuff. That was like my whole high school. Mm. And then when the day after graduation and all the parties ended, where was Chad's friends? They were nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, so yeah, I went to college and still nothing happened. No new. I mean, there have been a few. I mean, so don't get that. Don't misconstrue that idea. I mean, I mean, like you said, Mike Corwin, he's fantastic and like unique people who see past my inability are people who help me help them.
Right.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
So I think that's great. So what you want to do, my guest, by the way, is Chad Franker. He has a new business called Meals with a Friend. It's a great business that will provide wellness checks and emotional support to lonely people. He has dealt with loneliness in his own life and came away wanting to help others. And I think that's so great. He says loneliness affects people cardiovascularly and neurologically. People who are lonely enough, it can have the same effect, according to a study at University of Michigan, as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. How close are you to launching this? Does it take a lot of money to start a business like this, Chad?
I mean, with the lawyer fees and stuff, yes.
Because other insurance things, if you're going to go into someone's home.
And an LLC and stuff. And to get everything... Yeah, you have to get a lot of volunteers.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now. So, and you have to get a functional website.
Okay.
And I don't have either of them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
But I have like a makeup of that. Like,
okay.
So I have ideas and a start, but not like a functional website.
Okay.
Or
how are you? Do you have people helping? Like, are you business savvy? I'm not. I've tried to create businesses in the past. I haven't been very good at it. How are you with those skills? You got a nice packet here. Yeah. I mean, you got a lot of great information. You obviously know what you're doing.
Well, I know I'm very resourceful, so
okay.
I know, and I'm not lazy, so
right.
I know what to do. I know how to get things done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when do you think this will be up? And what if people, if they want to volunteer or if they want to help you get the business up and running, how can they find you?
Well, they can search on Facebook, Meals with a Friend.
Okay.
Meals with a Friend.
Meals with a Friend. Okay. Yes. On Facebook.
Yep.
It helps, you're hoping to build stronger communities.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. And you're hoping to do it one meal at a time. I love that. And, breaking bread together is like the foundation of community in a lot of ways, right? You talk, it's social. So how can, if people wanted to volunteer, I assume when you go to people and you ask them for money or help or setting up the LLC or whatever it is, you want to tell them, hey, I've got so many people here. I've got 100 volunteers ready to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something they can sign up for on Facebook?
Totally.
Okay.
And that's what I want to do with my, get a website, a functional website that can maintain that load and keep the data of like the clients and because we're dealing with humans.
Yeah.
So they have like everyone they have wants and they have things that they don't want. And so keeping track of that all would be, anyone who has like experience with that would be very helpful talking in.
Okay.
Yep.
So if I told you I expect this business to be operational in 3 months and we set a date for you to come back on the show and say, Pete, my business is a go.
Yes.
Thank you for cracking the whip.
Yep.
Not that you need it, but would that help? I mean, are there people in Marinette that are helping you with this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like Tim Stouse and I meet with a philanthropist at a company that Mr. Tom Baraboo set me up with.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Okay. So I mean there's
Tim Stouse has got a ton of money. We should encourage him just to give you a blank check, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So if he's listening.
Yeah, he should be. But I mean
here's what we'll do, Conrad. Let's do this. We can do our part, I think, tomorrow night on the show. We do a question every night.
Yep.
Maybe our question tomorrow night should be, what person would you want to have a meal with?
Yeah.
What lonely person in your life? Or even if you see someone on TV that you think is lonely, I think that could be a great, who have you done this? I assume you've done this on your own just to get it going. Have you met with other people who you could see are lonely, and how did that go over?
Well, I met with my... I met with clients and
you seem like you didn't want to say someone's name because you didn't
want to. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's totally HIPAA fine.
And stuff. So,
sure. Okay.
So, they love it. I mean,
nice.
I mean, they were born in the late, like in the depression and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So they're not really aware of their, I don't know. I mean,
it's a different generation, right?
Different
like they're
generation.
Not going to ask for help. They're just going to sit there and be lonely as opposed to, because they associate that with toughness.
Yeah,
they
don't know how to help themselves.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's.
What if I go in to have dinner with a friend, a meal with a friend, and they just start yelling at me?
Well, then.
What do I do?
You
throw the mashed potatoes at them or
no,
what?
No, you can leave. I mean, this is all volunteer based.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we would, I mean, because hopefully both would be civil enough to realize that we are going to need something to do.
Right.
Yep.
I'm totally kidding anyway. You know I wouldn't do that. And sign me up. All right. We're going to be right back. We've got a couple more minutes. Chad's going to help us close the show down. We'll read some text. And we'll do that in just a couple minutes. It's so great to have you with me on this Monday night on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here.
The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up, with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin's Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson, the Milwaukee historian and teacher, travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state, these people don't know much about the African-American experience, so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I send. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys in my life, and it's been a great journey. And I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
All right, welcome back. Doesn't feel like a Monday, does it, Conrad?
I mean, yeah, it feels nice because it was warm outside, so it doesn't feel like a trapped Monday.
It's not as sucky as the usual Monday, yeah. I guess. Is
not a cold Monday.
I'm saying, exactly. Chad Franker is here. He has a new business called Meals with a Friend. It's just a great idea to help combat loneliness, build community, do wellness checks, emotional support for people who need it. He has a website called Meals with a Friend on Facebook. Check that out. If you're interested in helping Chad in any way, being a volunteer, writing a blank check, whatever, find him on Facebook and reach out to him, because this is just a phenomenal idea. And we've set a date. We're going to do this. Probably in about 3 months, we'll have you back. And I will expect your business to be up and running and you to be the CEO.
Well, I'm already the CEO.
You're already the CEO. Yeah, and the exactly. How is your, are you, like, you're such a social guy. Would you consider yourself a lonely person right now, Chad, or?
Well, before I started this business, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I did my normal routine. I saw people, like, working out and stuff, but I still felt lonely. I mean,
yeah.
I went home to my apartment. And who was there to greet me? No one.
I mean,
so that's what I feel like I'm helping combat.
Right.
Giving something for other people to look forward to.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's so amazing because you come from a good family. You know, you're loved and you have a family around you, extended and immediate, but still you can't be around your family all the time, just like most people can't. And they're a lot of people probably are going home to an empty apartment. Yeah. Or an empty house. So, and I'll say even, like, I knew who you were, but I didn't think you knew who I was. So, like, I'd see you at the gym, and I'd nod if I saw you, but I didn't know if you even knew who I was. So I didn't want to be that guy that just walks around saying hi to everybody. Yeah. When I probably should be, right? Yeah. Because you're, okay. So, all right, Chad. So what I do with most people who come on the show, I try to find out what they're watching. Where do you find entertainment? This is an entertainment-based show. You said you don't watch a lot of TV.
Nope.
Movies? Do you ever watch movies?
Podcasts.
Okay, what are you listening to?
Well, the Huberman Lab podcast.
What is it?
The Huberman Lab
podcast. Huberman Lab podcast. Yes. Who's that?
Andrew Huberman.
Right, and is here. It a comedy podcast?
No, it's all right here. So.
Oh, okay. So what kind of topics does he tackle? How to enhance your immune system?
Yeah, and he's a doctor.
Dude, does that get boring after a while?
No, I mean, it does a little bit, but...
I mean, we all need a good immune system, but I would think after like an hour of that, you might want to...
And his episodes are like three hours long, and I just listen to him when I go down to Green Bay or on my drives.
Okay. How often do you come down here to Green Bay? You're not in school anymore, so...
No, but quite a bit, because I'm for my doctors, and so, I mean... Every couple of weeks.
Okay. So you were, as I mentioned earlier, you were a good athlete and you played sports. Like a lot of kids in Marinette, you probably played like four sports in 1 year. Are you still a sports fan? Do you follow sports?
Yes. Okay. Hockey, for sure, because that was my best sport.
Really?
Yep. And side note, I was better than my brother, so there's a little caveat there.
And, your older brother?
Yep.
That's Ryan.
Yes.
Okay.
And
would he say the same thing?
No. It's a little feud that we have between each other, but
that's cute.
Yeah. And I mean, football, baseball, and hockey is what I played.
Okay. And you still follow sports? Like, are you a Packers, Bucks, Brewers, all those teams?
Yeah.
Badgers.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
What's your favorite team? Would you say?
Probably Brewers.
Okay. So I'm going to give you, I think, I just saw the movie Green and Gold about a guy who bets the farm. He literally bets his own farm that the Packers will win the Super Bowl and hopes that the bank will let him keep it because he doesn't have any more money. So I think you should check that out.
The Ice Bowl, right?
It was not the Ice Bowl. It was like in the 90s. It was when Favre was quarterback.
Okay.
So it's not that old, but I think you should check it out. When you come back on to talk about Meals with a Friend, we can talk about that movie because I know you're a Packer fan.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay. Yes.
And I actually have a Brett Favre signed football.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I actually have, like, during my accident, I saw the inside Lambeau Stadium. Like,
like a tour?
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
nice.
But, like, in deep from Red Batty. He was the Packers athletic trainer at that time.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Was he helping you through your injuries or whatever?
No, he...
Okay.
Because it was Mark Hewson who was in it. Trainer at there and stuff.
Is Mark Hewson, isn't he the guy that's on with Mino and the Mayor?
Yeah,
he was at the party the other day.
He was?
So do you know Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We should get Mark on the show, by the way. I don't think he liked me personally, but I'd still like to invite him on.
Sounds good.
He was really avoiding me at the party.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
It was that look you had in your face.
Chad, thank you so much for coming down. You drove all the way down here to be on the show. I really appreciate that. I wish you luck with this business. I think it's great. I think it's... just a beautiful idea, and I hope you're incredibly successful with it.
Thank you very much, Pete.
You're welcome. Yeah. All right, that's Chad Franker. Check out Meals with a Friend on Facebook. You can sign up, volunteer to have meals with another person who might be lonely, or help Chad out business-wise if you have business skills or a blank check or whatever. But he's a great guy, and good luck with the business. I'd also like to thank Mariah Gates, who... Go ahead. You got about 15 seconds.
I have a website too, mealswithafriend.com.
Mealswithafriend.com.
Yes.
Okay.
And because it's a startup website. So, I mean, it's in the process of getting going. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you want a picture of me for the website, Chad?
Always.
All right. Very good. Thank you also for all your texts and all the talk about chips. You can't go wrong with that. Tomorrow night, it's Tuesday, but it won't feel like a Tuesday if you join us. I promise that. It's Peach Wobble with Nightlight on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. Don't take me time. It don't wait no goodbye.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. On the day marking 3 years since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, President Trump today optimistic about an end to the war.
A lot of good things toward peace are happening, moving it, I think, pretty quickly.
Trump welcoming French President Emmanuel Macron to the White House today. France's leader cautioning it's crucial that any potential agreement with Moscow does not amount to surrender for Ukraine. Confusion for about 2 million federal government workers who received an email demanding they explain what they accomplished last week. On his platform X, Elon Musk saying failure to do so will be taken as a resignation. Deadline's midnight tonight. At least four major agencies, though, telling their workers you don't have to respond, including the Justice Department, State Department, and the Department of Defense. Pope Francis remaining in critical condition, his 10th day in the hospital, but the Vatican reporting that he has seen slight improvement after taking a difficult turn over the weekend. This is ABC News.